All right, we're going to talk today about consider your calling. Consider your calling. Now, that kept bubbling out of my spirit since Monday, and I, you know, just couldn't shake it, so I figured God must be doing something, wanting to talk about this. It was a great graduation service last Sunday. All the speakers did really good, and we're so thankful for that. But it got me thinking about consider your calling. You know, sometimes in life, you know, different things will nag us and stuff, and sometimes, you know, have you ever felt like sometimes, how could God ever use me? You know what I mean? Because, you know, we live with ourselves, don't we? You know, we can, you know, be all, you know, hallelujah, you know, might get moving to the left and moving to the right on that Deep Cries Out song and all fired up, and then we go home, and, you know, things maybe don't, you know, go the way that we want, and that's the way life is sometimes. You know, maybe, you know, we feel like we're not smart enough, don't know enough about the Bible, we're not good enough. You know, maybe, you know, whatever, however we feel, you know, where we fit in culture. And, you know, we enter into that comparison game. Have you ever done that? I don't think anybody here do that. But sometimes you look around and you kind of compare yourself and you kind of see where you rank next to everybody else in the church or something. Well, I'm better than them, but I'm not better than that person, you know. So things like that. You know, a lot of weird stuff go through. And, you know, how could God ever use that person? And, how, you know, and you know, God can't use me and things like that. But the Lord tells us here to consider our calling. You know, you may think, well, I'm not called. I didn't go to Bible school. I don't have a real deep understanding of the Bible. But, you know, God wants us, I believe, to explore this a little bit because, you know, what does it mean to consider your calling? You know, the Apostle Paul was writing that letter to the whole church of Corinth, which I haven't got to yet. You don't know where I'm going, do you? I just now remembered I haven't told you yet. We're going to 1 Corinthians. But, you know, we need to consider our calling. And, you know, when we're all called, but few are chosen. And what we do with that call is very important. And I want to just share a little extra because we're going to go from at 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 28. But I want to share a little bit about the thoughts that Paul had a little earlier in that letter to the church at Corinth. He said about preaching Christ crucified, okay? See, we're called to preach Christ crucified and what that means. You know, when we preach Christ crucified, it's a separator, in my opinion, as well as an includer. But what happens, it either we receive it as a revelation of what it really means for Christ being crucified, or we just dismiss it as another story in the Bible. You know, there's a lot of cute stories in the Bible. Right? You know, Daniel in the lion's den and Jonah and the whale and all that stuff. And, you know, we just kind of maybe rank it in there. But, you know, in the New Testament, you know, God really got to the point. And what we want to see is the power of God working in our lives. And that comes by that separator, which also unifies, and that's Christ crucified and what that means to us, the revelation. And what it does is in the Bible it talks about it separates the sheep from the goats. And we have to have that revelation. Okay, the passage I'm going to look at, I'm going to go to verse 29. I said 28 earlier, but it's 1 Corinthians 26 all the way to verse 29. I'm going to read it in the New American Standard, and then I want to read the Message Bible, the Message Bible. It says, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised that despise God has chosen. The things which are not, that they might nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God." Then in the Message Bible it says, and really gets to the point. Please, I did not write this, so please, nobody get offended, because I'm not talking about you, okay? You know, it says, "Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you, not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses, chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies? That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. That's a slap in the face, ain't it? Just kind of gets right to the point. So please join me as we pray, and we'll enter into this rest of this service. Father, we thank you for the unity of the Spirit. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, just what you've done so far here in the service today. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Come. Manifest your presence. We thank you for your power. Lord God, I thank you for just stirring up the gift in me, and I want to use words today that pierce and penetrate each of our hearts. We thank you for the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Lord, I yield to the gift you put in me. I want to use it for your glory, and we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so it says, consider your calling. And this is something, so he wants us to ponder this a little bit. And Paul was writing to a church that he started, okay? He started the Corinthian church, and then he was not with them at this time, so he would hear bits and pieces about kind of what his little baby was going through, you know what I mean? The church was kind of one of his babies that he started. And he heard they were having some problems, and evidently maybe they had some self-image issues and things going on. And, he said here, consider your calling. And what we need to see is God does not call us based on our performance. God's calling is based on our potential. And we need to remember what it is that God is going to do in us, because then he can do something through us, okay? God does not grade on the curve. He doesn't go by, our works, righteousness, or anything like that. Maybe we had a bad start in life. Maybe we've done some bad things. Maybe we're ashamed of ourselves, some things. I mean, everybody's like that. At least I think we are. But see, God says that we want to consider that calling. And we always forget, sometimes what it is that God has done in our life. See, man looks at the status. But God really looks at our heart. So really what you need to be focusing on, and what I need to be focusing on, is don't worry so much about how you look to other people and dressing good and driving nice things and living in big houses, but look at what you're doing in your heart, because that's where God lives. And if we get the heart right, God's going to help us get everything right. Amen? And then we can start to walk in a different level, a higher level in the Spirit, to be able to walk, in the power that he wants us to have. See, there's no big shots in the kingdom of God, because we all get an equal shot. See, God does not play favorites. Sometimes we maybe think he does, but he doesn't. God gives us all equality. The Bible says there's no Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free. That's what I love about God's kingdom. It doesn't matter what you have in the world, because God doesn't measure that. God measures what we have in here, in our heart, and what God wants to do through us, and the power that he has, that he wants to distribute through his body, the church. And that's exciting. Because when we come into this place, we're all equal. God wants to use us each, and the things that he's put inside of us that we have to not take for granted. Now, a little bit about Corinth. I've been there before. I've been to Old Corinth, and I was able to see, some of the gravestones and things like that, and different markings. But this town back at that time was a very rough and tumble town. There's a lot of drunks, a lot of prostitutes, a lot of thieves, a lot of gamblers. That was the clientele that came to this town. And when they did that, what happened was that it had a reputation for that sort of city. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about back before I got saved, I was in the process. I backpacked around Europe back in the early 80s, and I went to Amsterdam. And I still remember that. And the place that I stayed, the cheaper hotels I lived on, the goal was $20 a day back then. And, it went pretty good for the most part. But I had to stay in the little cheaper part of town, if you know what I'm saying. It was called the Red Light District. They're in that area. And it was pretty rough over there. You know, a lot of open, you know, people using drugs and, you know, prostitution, you know, all these different things. And I remember I was coming to Christ at the time. I'd been going to church, you know, for several months, and I was picking up on a few things. But I remember walking by one of the shops. I can't remember what they were selling there. Maybe it was just a t-shirt shop. And, you know, some that really stuck out to me because, you know, I always had kind of this idea about God. But what it said was the fact that, I have it written here, God, it said that on the t-shirt, "Hey Amsterdam, God doesn't love you anymore." I still remember that. And it's been, you know, years since I was there. And I still remember that, this idea that how a people had just given up on themselves and had just felt like dirt. And that's sad. And see, that's kind of what Corinth was a little bit. It was kind of like Amsterdam on steroids, because there was all these things going on in the city. But see, where sin abounds, grace abounds more, praise God. And so that's where Paul went when he started to plant this church. He went to the toughest of the tough and started to preach the gospel and started to see great things happen. And a church, you know, was birthed out of that. And what happened is that as he preached the gospel, see, Christ crucified. See, that's the area we have to get into. Understanding why Jesus came, what he did, and the fact that when we put our faith in him, we go free. And see, when you preach that, that's when people get saved. You know, we can't try to, you know, intellectually try to convince somebody that somebody rose from the dead. I mean, how can you explain that in the natural? I mean, I don't know of a way, and I've been trying for years. But when you preach the gospel, it's the power of God. And that's when God shows up and things start to change. And so Paul had started this church, and now he was dealing with some things, you know, that they were possibly going through. And, you know, God, what I found out is God prides himself on using people that we think are unusable. You know, sometimes we make the mistake as we look past somebody. We look at them and we see where they're at now, or maybe we see where they've been. And we think, well, how could God use them? You know, they're messed up. But see, God takes that and he turns that around. And he starts to make change in their life. And see, what amazes me is that I was one of those people. You know, several different people in my life has come up to me, and, you know, this has happened a couple years ago again. You know, they told me that, "I don't see how God could ever have used you." I just look back, how messed up was I? I mean, I thought I was halfway decent. I mean, I was, you know, the people I ran with, I was kind of, you know, in the middle of the road with that, if you know what I mean. And how important it was to, you know, try to, you know, not look too bad, I guess, in front of people. But, you know, it just shows what God can do in somebody's life if you're willing to reach out to him and to cry out to him. See, I took that as a compliment, really, because I am so excited. I know firsthand what God can do, what God can change, what God can take. And he can mold it and make it and turn it into something that he can use. And see, we need to see that in ourselves. We need to see what God can do. I didn't have to go out. I mean, I had to pay attention. Don't get me wrong. You just can't unplug your brain. You have to pay attention a little bit, you know, and try to learn a few things. But if you let God's do it, see, what I found out, you know, we sing that song, Amazing Grace, you know, not here so much all the time. It's because we sing more contemporary stuff. But, you know, what I found out is I've experienced that amazing grace. And I know many of you also have. See, God's grace is amazing if you can see it from the perspective of a changed life. See, I knew I could never fix myself. Hope you've come to that conclusion. Because we can't really fix ourselves. We can modify a few things. We can maybe tweak on a couple things here and there. But deep down inside, we all have that one root that needs to be ripped out, and that's the root of sin. Because sin destroys our lives. And we need to get rid of that and let go of that, and don't let it drag us down. And as I see that, you know, my life was changed by God. I know that. But like I shared a little bit last week, somebody considered their calling. They came and knocked on my door. They told me about the love of Jesus Christ. They told me that I would be accepted at their church and how I could come. Now, I didn't get saved that day, but I did have to pray to get them out of the house, if you know what I'm saying. I did pray the sinner's prayer, but I didn't mean it. Have you ever done that before? Don't raise your hand, right? Oh, come on now. But see, I did get it finally. See, I was the type of person that when I decide something, I just go for it. But see, it took a little persuading, but if it wasn't for those people coming to my door, coming to tell me they considered the calling, that they took it upon their responsibility to be able to share what they have, and my life was changed. And it's still being changed. And I thank God for that day. I still remember their faces. I can still see them right now. God is good, and if we allow Him to do everything. But what we have to do is we first have to step back and see the big picture if we're considering our calling. You know, what happens to you and I think this is true, is that we get so caught up in the day-to-day that we lose perspective of the big picture, what God wants us to see. We get so muddled down in the everyday, having to, you know, go to work, deal with the kids, deal with whatever's going on, and then for a while it just kind of lulls us to sleep. You know, we need to break, every now and then, we need to step back and consider our calling. Am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I doing what God's called me to do? See, when I think about it, I don't dwell on the past, but I do think about, you know, what God has called me out of and then what God has called me into. And the reason why I do that sometimes is the fact that I don't have a desire to go back to the old, but I look at it because I want to know that I remember that pain. I remember that poison that I was drinking and what I was doing to my body. And I don't want that no more. If I wanted it, why did I leave it? There's no life back there. So what I do, I consider what God has taken me into. I focus on that. God has brought me out of that. I don't want to go back there. So I want to set my face, you know, in the right direction, because that's the direction I need to be going. Now, something I want to challenge, this kind of ties, set heads off a little direction, not too terrible bad, but something the Lord spoke to my heart the other night. We had a community prayer meeting out at another church, and, you know, I got to thinking about confrontational Christianity. You know, that's what we need to do as we consider our calling. So what I mean by confrontational Christianity, the church, you know, we need to walk in love, but what I feel that some Christians are doing is the fact that when the church doesn't speak out, we're actually loving people to hell or people to death. Because everywhere you go, oh, you got to walk in love, you got to walk in love, you got to walk in love. And to that, that means you can't speak truth into my situation. I don't want you to tell me that I'm doing something wrong. I thank God for the people that told me I was in sin, because I wanted to get rid of it. I didn't try to hide it. It has to be dealt with, has to be brought out, has to be exposed. And if we don't stop loving the people to death, there's going to be a lot of people going to hell. Because what the world's trying to get us to do, and this is really what they're very good at it, the world is trying to get the church to put us on defense all the time. And we need to be back on offense. I was not put on this planet to make all kinds of friends. I know that. That's not my calling. My calling is to change lives. And only when we get people to repent of their sins will we see them saved and set free. A lot of people don't like to hear the truth. But honey, the truth will set you free. And that's what we need to do. Now, I don't go around trying to be obnoxious. Maybe you think I am right now a little bit, but forgive me. God will make you. Amen? No, just kidding. No, He will. He'll make you. He's made me have to forgive every now and then. Walk in forgiveness. But we need to preach the truth. Now, the next thing I want to look at is the idea between destiny and duty. You know, destiny's fun. Duty's a job sometimes, right? the things that we need to do. See, what I found out in my life is when, you know, it's better to be inspired about something because you'll go for it. See, destiny will pull us and duty pushes us. And we kind of need both because we have things going on in our life sometimes that kind of mess with us. See, to me, when destiny is inspirational, you know, and duty is motivational. Every now and then, I'm just so inspired on my journey. It's just drawing me right to where it needs to be. You know, God is just calling me to do this, and I'm so excited to get there. But every now and then, I don't feel like that. Maybe you can feel like that all the time, but I don't. You know, it's hard for me to keep that up. So what happens then is that's when I have to step into duty, doing the things I know to do. Because that's what's going to keep you going. And if we don't do that, we're going to fall back in a way that's going to be terrible. Because destiny drags us while duty drives us. Now, what I feel is that sometimes we tend to fluctuate between the flesh cycle and the spirit cycle. You know, in your washing machine, you have different cycles, right? Well, I think in our life, sometimes we have different cycles. You know, we have our flesh cycle. Has anybody ever had a flesh cycle? You know, you get kind of owly or whatever the case may be, not the funnest person to be around. Then you have your spirit cycle. Oh man, it just seems like, woohoo, everything's going good, praise God. You know, I'm just so excited about Jesus today. But then the next day, you may not feel that way. So we cycle back and forth with this. And if you don't understand how to maybe deal with that and go through it, then it's easy to get really discouraged and fall back if you're in the flesh cycle. It says what happens is the flesh cycle is when the old nature rises up. And you can tell, I mean, I can, when my flesh, I mean, I know when I'm not walking where I need to be, or I'm said something I shouldn't have said that maybe hurt somebody's feelings or something like that. And if I don't, I know my wife will remind me, you know, praise God. You know, her and the Holy Ghost is my two best people I got in my life, amen. But anyway, you know, the idea that, you know, we get in that flesh cycle and our old nature rises up. And everybody has it. I mean, we all try to maybe cover it up, you know, but there ain't enough makeup. Cover that flesh cycle, you know. Believe me, you know, it's there. But see, what happens when we're in the flesh cycle? Well, then the last thing you want to do is pray. The last thing you want to do is read the Bible, or you know, things like that. But that's where duty kicks in. That's when you know this is what I need to be doing to turn that around. Okay, these are things that I need to do to get me back where I need to be. And you need to find what kind of works for you. You know, to get back to where you need to be. And what I find out we have to do is sometimes we just got to tell your flesh what to do. It don't want to do it. Because what we happens is that, you know, sometimes we must do what we know to do instead of doing what we feel to do. How many know if you did everything you felt like doing, you'd be in a whole lot of trouble? Am I the only one? You know, every now and then, right? You know, we have a bad situation going on in our mind or whatever. And if you actually say what you think, you wouldn't have not one friend left on this planet. Right? You know, that's the flesh cycle. That's when we just got to keep our mouth shut and step back into duty and do what we need to do. And you're going to find out what happens. Our flesh hates the revelation of preaching Christ crucified. Because we're not going to go into this today, but what happens is we're supposed to take our flesh to the cross and let it die there. But that old flesh nature must believe in resurrection power somehow, don't it? In the bad way, because it keeps coming back kind of like a weed. Well, then you got the spirit cycle. See, that's when delight kicks in. That's when you make the most advancements, I think, in your walk with God. That's when you grow by leaps and bounds. Because what happens is that sense of destiny, it kind of kicks in, and we're just going after God with all that we have. Everything that we got, we just, boom, just heading after God. And we need to do that because that delight kicks in. Oh, I don't, you know, that's mean we're in the spirit cycle of our life. We're just all fired up. We're going to prayer meetings. We're bless God, we're coming to the church all the time, and we're pitching in and helping out, and we're seeing people saved, and God's giving us words here and there to help somebody. Praise God for those times. That's when we need to really go for it and really make a difference. Because we need to be led by the Spirit of God. You know, the old thinking doesn't work anymore. But what I found is if we want to be led by the Spirit of God, first we must be fed by the Spirit of God. Amen? Y'all ought to write that one down. We need to be fed by the Spirit of God. It's not intellectual knowledge. It's not, you know, but it has to be that revelation knowledge. Now, I don't know. I'm not going to preach about your diet right now, but how many know that healthy snacks are better than bad snacks? You know what I mean? I mean, healthy snacks are good. See, I think it's counterproductive to eat all kinds of healthy food, and then when you snack, you just eat the most unhealthy things they are. You know, you can probably think of some of those. What's those one, bacon crisps or whatever? You know, how much sodium's in that? Or something with a lot of sugar, and you're eating vegetables and stuff at supper or dinner, and then all of a sudden you're starting to eat this other stuff. And it's counterproductive. You wonder, why isn't this working? You know, why am I losing weight? You know? Why is this happening? Well, it's kind of like that in the spirit. You know, it's counterproductive if we, you know, maybe have a great Bible study or quiet time or in church where, you know, we're paying attention, we're writing things down, saying amen at the right time, and then you leave, then you get into gossiping. Oh. Somebody ever gossip before? Or maybe we get mad, we just get angry, we get, you know, very not patient. What's that called when you're not patient? Impatient, yeah. I was looking for another word, but anyway, that'll work. You're just impatient, you get all edgy, you know what I'm saying? And here you just had some nice time with God. And then you get this impatience going on, and you just unravel and undo everything that you've done. It's counterproductive. Right? And those things, you know, it just makes a difference. So what we need to do is that I believe we all need a good dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit, he just kind of slaps me upside the head every now and then. He'll bring things. I mean, the Holy Spirit, what I like about him, when he reveals something dumb that I've done or something dumb that I've said, he'll convict me, but he will never condemn me. He'll never put me down. He'll never make me want to run away from God. He wants me to keep coming towards God. And it's okay to repent. It's okay to have conviction. You know, when people say they never feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it can be one of two things. Either you're perfect, or you've hardened your heart. Right? One of two things. And I think most times it's the second one. Because nobody's perfect, right? Okay. Wrapping this up, let's look at the idea of answering that call. You know, it says, consider your calling. You know, sometimes we got to pick up the phone, right? You got to answer that call. See, to me, it's not enough just to be asked. You know, God's asking. You know, follow me. You say, yeah, but if you never follow him, is it really a yes? I don't know. I don't think it is. Because what happens is that you and I need to have corresponding action to our calling. Well, we're called by Christ to make an impact because, you know, what I think is the fact that we, as we have that corresponding action, is when we really start to go on that journey with God. We start to really walk with God. And we start to let go of some of those things that, you know, try to hold us back and those things that try to distract us. Because to me, it's not enough just to answer and then do nothing. Now, most everybody here, some of you are younger, but most everybody here has either had a kid or you've worked with kids. Now, how frustrated do you get, parents, is that if you ask your kid to do something and they say they'll do it, but then they don't do it? Did they really say yes? With their mouth they said yes, but in their heart they said no. They're not following. They're not following after. So that's why we need to consider our calling. Paul was challenging the people here. Yeah, you may not be as good as everybody else. There's all these people that look better than you, but I still want you to follow that call because I know what I put inside of you. The Lord, when he puts it inside of you, it's there. Nobody can take it away. Nobody can, tell you that you're not needed, that you're not important. Because what I feel that we need to do is we never, ever, ever should forget the God factor in our life. Because the God factor is the changing agent of what we see start to manifest through the life that God's called us to do. It's powerful. You know, I don't know, I know many of you have explored this already, and you know, maybe some of you are like me, you're doing things that you never thought you could do, but it's God in you helping you do it. And it's just amazing when you tap into that grace, and you know, maybe you're making a difference in people's lives. Maybe you're teaching young kids or you're out witnessing or whatever it may be. But we all need to be doing something. We all can do something. You know, just like I said last week, the power of an invitation. The power of those people that came to my door and invited me to come to church. And when I did, through a process of time, a life was changed. And see, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be in the business of seeing lives changed. Helping people to come out of that darkness. Yes, I know they say no sometimes. I used to do street evangelism. Believe me, I know the word no. You know, used to get it all the time. I mean, I'd invite people to church and some of the people on the street, and I'd drive over to pick them up and wasn't there. Does that mean I quit? No, I just keep asking. I keep going. Because you never know. You never know the power of what God can do through a changed life. The impact that they can make on the kingdom of God. And the impact that you can make on the kingdom of God. What I found out is our calling is an invitation from the Lord to be in the greatest working relationship we'll ever have. That's the kind of relationship I have with God. Oh yes, I love my prayer time where I just go in there and bask in his presence. I mean, it's not like that all the time, but you know, there is times it is. And I just get to singing and worship God, and I start praying in tongues, and I start to cry before God and just get all excited. Oh, I love those times. But I'll tell you what, the best part of my relationship with God is when I see God do something through me. That's when I really see the power of what God can do through a changed life. That's when I know that this stuff is real. Because God can do so many things through a vessel that's willing. And I encourage you to tap into that. Explore this. Try to grow. Try to see what God can do in your life. The impact that you can make for the kingdom of God. See, the vision of our church is really twofold. You know, it's one of them is prepare the next generation for ministry. You know, I thank you all that are a part of that, you know, trying to reach kids because, you know, children are investment in our future. It's an uphill battle. I'm not going to lie to you. Culturally, you know, the church is losing if you look at it in the natural, but we look at it in the supernatural. I think 43% of millennials don't believe there's a God or something like that. That's tough. Do we quit? No. Keep on preaching. Keep on loving. Let the Holy Spirit see. All we do is speak the truth and see, we're not doing it by ourselves. See, the Holy Spirit is with us and he'll convict. He'll draw. It's up to them to respond, just like it was you. Maybe you're here today, some of you, maybe your mom and dad drug you to church every week. Maybe you didn't want to be there. But all of a sudden it stuck, didn't it? All of a sudden something happened. You know? And we need to be able to continually follow in that plan. Because them kids are important. Everybody's important. And the next part of our vision, it kind of unfolded as if idea, I'd like everybody to really catch this. Is leading people from where they are to where God wants them to be. We can each do that. We're talking about that is the idea of taking people to the next step. Those people that knocked on my door, they took me to the next step. They didn't take me all the way. They just took me to the next step. And when I got to church there, then the pastor and his wife, through preaching and teaching, they kept taking me to the next step. And then there was a group of people. They invited me to come and be on the softball team and the football team. They took me to the next step. They accepted me. No matter how late I was out the night before, you know, they still let me play. You know what I'm saying? I could still be a part of that group. They knew they probably smelled the alcohol on my breath. I mean, that stuff don't go away that quick. They still loved me. They accepted me. And they never gave up on me. And they kept, and through the process, and I'll be honest, the day I accepted Jesus was the first day that I saw my wife. You know, she was over there, you know, walking up, and we was at a football team, and I was injured at the time. I'd had a cast on. And that wasn't from the football game. I had another deal going on. But anyway, I went home that night, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And it was because when I, you know, I was in that hospital, and I had the operation. I had a little bone spur, all it was, taken off. And I was there, and I have no family in Denver. I was in the hospital all alone. Boo-hoo for me. I don't make you cry now, but anyway. And I, to be honest, I'm the type of person, if I'm in the hospital, yeah, I'm okay. I'm fine. But anyway, I got to thinking about that. I was there all alone. I checked myself in. I checked myself out. And then when I got out that morning, I went to the football game just to watch the team. And just the love that that group of men, they showed me. It made an impact that day because they'd really cared. And I went home that night and I accepted Jesus Christ in my living room. But see, it took several steps. Some of you are going to wonder if I'm going to stop here, ain't you? That's the end of the stage for those watching online. You can't see that. But, you know, we need to take people to that next step. That's our job. That's our calling. That's what we need to consider our calling, is to be more evangelistic, to be able to love people and accept them. They're not going to be perfect the first day. Nobody is. They won't be perfect after the first year or decade, probably. We won't be perfect till Jesus comes. But we need to take people to that next step, and it starts with the first step and keeps going. So I want to challenge us today to don't ever sell yourself short. God knew what he was doing when he called you. God doesn't make mistakes. You're not a mistake. You're part of God's plan. And he wants to use you in a mighty way. So consider that calling. Know that God wants to work through you. We just need to let him. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for this day, that this is a day that you have made. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the things that you've done in this service so far. But what makes angels really rejoice is when somebody surrenders their life to Christ. Maybe you're here today and you've never made that decision. You never made that surrender. Surrender is not a sign of weakness. Surrender is a sign of wisdom. When we surrender to God. Holy Spirit, I ask you to move across this place today. If you're here today, I want to give you opportunity to make your peace with God. Maybe you've never done it. Maybe you've prayed to him a lot, but you've never really surrendered your life. That's what it's talking about, is surrendering your life to Christ, because it's Christ crucified. If that's speaking to your heart today, just slip up your hand. We want to pray with you. I don't want anybody to leave today not knowing for sure. Amen. And maybe you're here today and you know you haven't really considered your calling. You know that you want God to start to use you more, to make an impact on the world around you. Slip up your hand. We want to pray for boldness today. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you right now for the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us each to consider our calling. Holy Spirit, I ask you just to move in each of our hearts. Lord, help us never to sell ourselves short. Help us to never think that we're not good enough. Lord, I thank you for the gift and the grace you put inside of us, Lord. It's that grace that gives us power to go. Lord, just use us in a mighty way. We thank you, Lord, for all these things in the mighty name of Jesus.